Okay, well, we are in the middle of a series looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus as recorded in John's Gospel. If you've missed any, they are available on our podcast, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can catch up. But today we are in part five. We're just going to jump straight in. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to read the first 11 verses. It's headed, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. It says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amazing. So the first thing to notice straight off the bat for me is this is the first and only I am statement that also has a you are. We've looked at all of these I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, but this one has a you are straight after it. I am the vine, you, that's us, are the branches. And so we've talked in some of the past weeks about us being sheep. So maybe you're thinking, well, there are, it says you're sheep, but actually it doesn't say you are sheep. That's just the implication that it's given when you read those scriptures. But this one specifically says you are the branches. And so I believe that it's important that we just dig into this you are statement a little bit this morning and try to understand what it is that Jesus is actually saying to us. Because who knows, he doesn't say things by accident. I believe that God's word is God-breathed, that the words on these pages were given to us by the heart of God as instructions for us on how we should live our lives. And so if there is something in here, we should pay attention to it. So when God says, you are the branches, he is speaking intentionally to us. He has something that he wants to impart to us through these words. And what I believe that this gives us when we read these words is firstly, a reason to worship and a reason to wonder. When we read these words, it gives us a reason to worship and a reason to wonder. Because this picture of the vine and of the branches, it says that we are a part of Jesus. Not apart from Jesus, a part of Jesus. We're not separated apart from Jesus. We are connected to in Jesus. We are totally connected to him. And so perhaps if you want a modern day analogy, and this probably won't be totally accurate, it might be, I am the smartphone and you are an app. Does that kind of make sense? I think maybe we can kind of correlate with that a little bit. We can't function without him. We can't exist without him. We're not just connected to him, but we are a part of him. There's this beautiful intricacy with our connection to Jesus. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him. And that's just one scripture of many scriptures that emphasize and talk about the fact that we are in Christ, that we are a part of Jesus. But what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be a part of Christ? Well, this isn't a perfect analogy, but just flow with me for a minute. My sister-in-law is 11 months pregnant now, and she was round the other week at our house, and the baby was kicking. Have you ever felt a baby kicking inside a woman's belly? I mean, it's kind of cool, and it's also kind of weird. And for me, kind of feeling on this belly, feeling this baby move, that's a bit odd. But it must be even weirder for the actual mum feeling this thing inside moving. I don't know. We can never... Ruth says it's ace, but I don't know. I suppose it probably is, because you're creating this being inside of you, but it's also a little bit like an alien inside, isn't it? Just me? It's kind of cool though, isn't it? I think it's kind of cool. But the thing that's kind of this analogy that I'm trying to make is that actually the baby is in the mother. The baby is in the mother. So whatever she eats, the baby eats. Whatever she drinks, the baby drinks. And so when my sister-in-law came round to our house and came to hang out with us, the baby couldn't say, oh, you go on, I'm just going to hang at home today, I'm not really feeling it. You guys go, have a great time, it's going to be fun, but I'm just going to chill out at home, just get an early night. That couldn't happen because the baby is in the mother. And so wherever the mother goes, the baby goes too. Whoever the mother hangs out with, the baby hangs out with too, because he is in her. And it's the same as us being in Christ. Whatever he receives, we receive. Because he lives, we live. Wherever he goes, we go. And so there's a beautiful picture here of what it means for us to be in Christ. And also, it says in the Bible that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so we are seated, because we are in Jesus, we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, it says. And as Jesus receives every spiritual blessing, so we receive every spiritual blessing. Are you getting this morning? Jesus is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are in Jesus. And so he is in this relationship, and that means that we are in the center of this beautiful relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. And everything that is his becomes ours, that of that relationship, the relationship with his Father, the security that comes from being in his Father. We're welcomed into that because we are a part of Jesus. You know, if you can truly grasp hold of this truth this morning, I believe that it can massively impact how we go about living our lives. When we begin to live in the security that comes from a relationship with our Heavenly Father, when we can come from a place of knowing that we are truly loved because we are in Christ, we are loved like and as children of God. We can live in the provision of God. We can live in the knowledge of our identity being found in Christ. We can know just how loved we are because we are a part of Jesus. We are in Christ. How incredible is that? And if that is not a reason enough to worship, if that is not reason enough to wonder, I don't know what is. And so knowing that truth, if you're taking notes this morning, it gives us the knowledge that we are in Christ. It gives us a reason to wonder. It gives us a reason to worship. And secondly, it gives us clarity of purpose. It gives us reason to wonder and worship, but it also gives us a clarity of purpose. You know, as with all things, Jesus chooses his words carefully. And so I believe that when he chose this vine and branches analogy, he did that with a reason. And yes, you can say that in the culture that he was speaking in, he would be naturally inclined to an agricultural metaphor. And so that's what he's using here. That's the sum purpose, the sum total of his reasoning for saying the vine and the branches. But I believe it goes a little bit further than that. Because he could have chosen to say, I am the flower and you are the petals, couldn't he? That would also be an agricultural metaphor that would probably work for what we've said already this morning. But I believe he chose the vine and the branches for another reason. Because whilst a flower is there mainly for decoration, the vine has a clear and visible purpose, a purpose to grow fruit. That is the purpose of the vine. And I, for one, am thankful for the fruit of the vine, particularly over in France. And but I believe that he chose this picture because we are in him. We are a part of Christ. And yes, we have the same spiritual blessings of him because we are in him, but we also have the same mission as him because we are in him. We have the same purpose. And Jesus' purpose was to please the Father, to glorify the Father, and to build the Father's kingdom here on earth. And that's our purpose too. That's our purpose too. That's why we're here. That's what he's put us here for. And so that looks like us following and walking in the footsteps of Jesus and living what he taught and living what he demonstrated through his life and his ministry here on earth. And as you read through the Jesus story in the Bible, what you will see is that Jesus showed us we should lay down our lives for others. In fact, if you just read on the following two verses in the scripture from this morning, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." We are called not just by the words of Christ, but by the actions and the demonstration of Christ to lay down our lives. To lay down our lives. And you know, what that speaks volumes of is that it's not about us. It's not about us. This life that we live is not about us. And it's easy to kind of make it that way, isn't it? You know, we live in a world and in a culture and in a society that is all about me. It's me, I, myself. It's all about me and what I can do and what I can achieve and what I can grow and what I can hoard. We live in this kind of society that speaks into us that we need to look out for number one above anything else. But the truth is that we are not number one. God is number one. God is number one. And so, yes, we should be looking out for number one first, but we just need to shift our focus of who that number one is. It's not what society teaches us, that it's me and I and everything that I can do. It's all about God. It's all about him, our Father, our Creator. And so if we're living and walking in the footsteps of Jesus, we should be laying down our lives for him. For him. We should be offering him everything that we have. We should be offering him our lives. We should be offering him our time. We should be offering him our energy. We should be offering him our finances. We should be offering him our resources. As we go about our lives from day to day, we need to be checking ourselves. We need to be asking ourselves the question, what is my motivation for my behavior? What is my motivation when I go to work? What is my motivation when I meet up with people? What is my motivation when I'm volunteering in the community? What is my motivation when I'm posting on social media? Is it to benefit myself? Is it to build up myself? Is it so I can accumulate more for myself? Or is it to glorify the Father? Is it to give honor to the Father? Is it to develop and to grow his kingdom here on earth? And another thing that strikes me about this picture of the vine and the branches, particularly in the light of the purpose not being about us, is that the branches, they may produce the fruit, but they can't eat the fruit, can they? They produce this fruit, but they can't eat the fruit. And so our purpose as branches in this analogy is to produce fruit, but that fruit is not for us. That fruit is a blessing for others. That's for others to experience the goodness of what we have gleaned from the vine, from the Father. So as we're connected into and we are in Christ, we produce this sweet, beautiful fruit, but it's not for us, it's for others. It's to bless those around us. It's to show others of the goodness of our Father. And so as the branches, we are part of the vine. We're intricately connected to the vine. We're drawing from it. We're drawing from Jesus everything that we need to produce fruit. When we are connected to the vine, we are taking out of that. We are receiving everything that we need in order to do what we're called to do. And so we're talking about producing fruit. We're talking about producing something that is sweet and that is good. And the Bible talks, doesn't it, about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit that we produce when we are grafted into and connected to the vine. We produce this fruit. And if you look at that list of the fruit of the Spirit, if you are walking and living and producing one of those fruits, then you'll probably naturally then produce another fruit. Because if you're not walking in love, then you probably won't be experiencing true joy. And if you're not practicing patience, then I'm going to suggest that you're probably not walking in kindness. And if you're not living in faithfulness and gentleness, then you're probably struggling in an area of self-control. You see, all of this fruit is beautifully connected. I love how God works when he speaks through his word, just the beautiful picture of what it means to be connected to the vine. And so that's the good stuff. That's what looks great. And it's something we can look to and say, yes, that's what I am working towards. That's the life that I want to lead. That's what I want to look like as I walk in the footsteps of Jesus, as I live out this life of faith, of a follower of Jesus. But then we come to the part in our verse, in our scripture this morning, that perhaps makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because then we come to this picture and this idea that for every branch that does bear fruit, it says, we'll experience the pruning of the Father. We'll experience the pruning of the Father. Now, I'm no gardener at all, but I understand the principle of pruning. You probably won't see me out in the garden doing the pruning, but I understand why it happens. In fact, just yesterday, Ruth was out in our garden, which when we got this garden done, it was like, we're going to do the lowest maintenance garden that's possible. We got fake grass, so that's amazing. No more mowing. And then we got this flower bed that we planted with wildflowers, which in my understanding meant you threw the seed on and then you never did anything ever again. Apparently that's not true, because Ruth was out there for a couple of hours yesterday just digging up and pruning this garden to make it ready for its next season. So I don't do the gardening. I didn't get involved, sorry. But I understand why the pruning happens, because if you want to see growth, if you want to see these plants begin to grow more and to flourish more, you need to prune back what is dead and what is dying. You need to prune back what is infected and diseased. You need to prune back what is growing in the wrong direction. And you need to prune it properly in order to allow the fruit to grow. And as you prune back the branches, what you'll begin to do is you'll allow the energy and the resource of the vine, of the ground, the source that it's pulling from, to be used in the right way. And so actually, when there are multiple branches spurting off in all different kinds of ways, and you've got branches that are doing nothing, branches that are diseased, and all of that stuff, what we're finding is that all of the resource that we're soaking up is then being wasted on these different areas that are producing no fruit and never will produce any fruit. And so the pruning process gets rid of those time-wasting branches. It gets rid of those areas in our lives where we can never produce fruit because they're going nowhere. And it allows all of the energy, all of the resource, all of the power to go to those areas where the most fruit can grow. And so whilst this picture of pruning, it may seem and sound painful, its purpose is that we can be more fruitful. Its purpose is that we can be more fruitful. But let's be clear, it is painful. Pruning is painful. There's no getting around that. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable to hear that this morning, that the Bible says that you are the branches and the Father will prune you. And so we are going to go through feeling of uncomfortable discomfort and pain in this pruning process. But we have to remember and be mindful of the fact that there is a purpose to the pruning, and the purpose is that we will produce more fruit. And so it's painful, and it can hurt, and it can make us feel uncomfortable. But a good way to look at it is this, that actually it is discipline and not punishment. The pruning process is discipline, it's not punishment. You see, God disciplines us because he loves us, but he won't punish us. Because Jesus already took all of the punishment when he went to the cross. All of the punishment that we deserve because of everything that we do wrong in our lives, Jesus took it all when he was nailed to the cross so that we don't have to be punished anymore. But God will still discipline us. He will still discipline us because he loves us. You know, children grow in identity and in security through praise and through rewards. And we can see that with like star charts and all that kind of stuff that we use as strategies when we're growing our kids to be the little people that we want them to be. But they also grow through discipline. And so as parents, we discipline our kids, don't we? Not out of some malicious or sadistic desire to cause them pain or to hurt their feelings. We do it because we love them. And it's hard, isn't it? Because actually when we discipline our kids, we see that our discipline hurts them. And we see that they're beginning to feel a little bit uncomfortable and that they're feeling the pain of the correction that we're bringing to their lives. But we're doing it out of love. We're doing it because we know that they can be better than their being in that moment. And so we bring discipline into their lives. And I believe that's a picture of the Father when he's disciplining us. He doesn't delight. He doesn't take pleasure from disciplining us because he sees that it makes us feel uncomfortable. He feels and sees the pain that we feel when he's bringing discipline into our lives. But he does it anyway. And he does it because he loves us. He does it because he loves us. Because he wants, like we want as parents of our children, that he wants us to be the very best we can be. He wants us to grow up to be everything that he has planned for us. He wants us to grow to have a good life, to have a happy life, to have a life that is filled with joy. And so we get pruned. We get disciplined. The Bible says, the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father does the son he delights in. And so his discipline, it's not a sign of his anger or his frustration towards us. It's a sign of his incredible love for us. It's a sign of his respect for us, of his care for us, and his concern for us. And so as we go about our spiritual lives, unless those of you who are living absolutely perfect lives, and I'm sure there's some of you in the room, I know, but unless you're living that absolutely perfect life, you need to expect pruning to take place in your life. You need to be prepared for the fact that God's going to bring some discipline into your life, and it's going to feel uncomfortable, and it's going to hurt a little bit, because when he begins to work in those old thought patterns that we are falling back into, or when he's bringing discipline into those areas of our behaviors or of our character, where he knows we're not walking in everything that he's got for us. And so he begins to discipline us and convict us and correct us in those areas. It feels uncomfortable. Do you know, sometimes, not very often because I'm a good person, but sometimes Ruth will say something to me where she will challenge some of my behaviors. And my reaction, I'm sorry to say, in that moment, is that a wall goes up and I get really defensive and I maybe snap at her and say something that I don't actually mean because she said something that challenges my behavior. But in that moment, I know full well that she's right because she's always right. And so when she corrects me about something that I've said or something that I've done, it feels horrible. It feels really uncomfortable. And I even lash out, not physically, don't get me wrong. I'll speak something out or I'll shut up and I'll go cold or whatever it is, because I feel in this place where, oh, you've just called me out on something and I don't like it. And I think that's how we can react when God corrects us in a situation, because we know we shouldn't be doing it. We know we shouldn't be thinking it. We know we shouldn't be saying it, but he's called us out on it. And we just feel a little bit awkward and uncomfortable. And so we put up a wall and we shut off from God and we say, I'm not speaking to you anymore. Is it just me? And so we go cold for a little bit while we sulk like a teenager in the corner. But then when we get over it and we accept that actually he's right, and we shouldn't be doing that thing and we shouldn't be saying those things and we shouldn't be thinking those things, and we take on the fact that actually he's not punishing us, he's just disciplining us, and he's doing it out of love because he cares for us and he sees the best in us and he's for us and he loves us and he wants us to be everything that we can be. And when we accept that and we take back down that wall and we just say, do you know what? You're right and I'm sorry. We come to such a good place. We become to be healthy branches. And it's out of a healthy place we can begin again to produce fruit. Know this, he will always act out of a place of love. He's always acting out of a place of love because he is for us, because he loves us, because he wants the best for us. And you know, one of the main ways that he prunes us is through his word. It's one of the main ways that he will prune us. It says in verse 3 of our passage this morning, Jesus says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. It's because of his words. It's because of his teachings, and they begin to challenge us and they convict us of our wrong attitudes and our wrong behaviors. And it's in this pruning process, it's in this discipline, it's in this correction that we then have the freedom to grow stronger, that we then have the freedom to produce more fruit. And so he says, if you remain in me and I in you, he it is that produces much fruit. And so if you want to bear fruit, you need the pruning of the Father. That's one. But you also need to be abiding and remaining in the Son. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch on the floor will produce no fruit. A branch on the floor has no life. A branch that is not connected to the vine can do nothing. But when we are connected to the vine, when we abide in the Son, when we remain in the Son, it's then that we can produce fruit. And so in this single verse, there's both a warning and there's a promise. And the warning is that without Jesus, we can do nothing. There will be no fruit. Not even a single grape will be produced when we are without Jesus. And you know, we can try and attach ourselves to a whole bunch of vines. We can attach ourselves to the vine of success and hope that we'll produce some fruit. We can attach ourselves to the vine of fame or of influence or of social acceptance and hope that we can produce some fruit. Whatever it is, We can try and connect ourselves to those vines, but ultimately the word says you'll produce no fruit. No fruit. Because they aren't the true vine. Verse 1 of our scripture says, Jesus says, I am the true vine. So we can try and graft ourselves into other vines, other roots to feel good and to produce some fruit, but they are not the true vine. There is only one true vine, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we're being warned that without Jesus, there will be no fruit. But then on the flip side of this, the promise is that with Jesus, there will be much fruit. Not just a little bit, not just one or two grapes, but a whole bunch of grapes. Much fruit, loads of fruit, more than we can even handle. And this is a promise to live the kind of life that I can only imagine that we all want to live, a life of significance, a life of purpose, a life that leaves a legacy because we are producing much fruit and the good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And notice this, it doesn't say that the condition of bearing much fruit is that you have to be gifted. It doesn't say that the condition for producing much fruit is that you have to be full of confidence. It doesn't say that the condition for bearing much fruit is that you've got to have it all together or be living the perfect life. It doesn't say any of that. It says that the only condition for bearing much fruit is that you are connected to the vine, that you are abiding in me. And so what does that mean? What does that look like for us? It looks like being close to Jesus. It looks like being in relationship with Jesus. You know, we need to be intentional, and I'm very aware that I'm repeating myself week in, week out, but sometimes, well, I don't know, we can never hear this message enough, and sometimes we need a kick up the butt just to get ourselves in gear. We need to be spending time with Jesus. We need to be prioritizing our time with Jesus. You know, he would regularly, during his time on earth, sneak off up a mountain into the quiet place, wherever it was. He would sneak off because he was prioritizing time with his Father to just spend time abiding in the presence and the love and the peace and the joy of his Father. And so if it's what Jesus did, then it's what we should do. And so we need to be carving out and creating space and time in our lives to be spending time with Jesus. And I know that our lives are chaotic, and I know that our lives are busy, and I know that we are full with all of the things that we have to do, but we need to be making time to spend with Jesus. We need to be making that time to be connected to the Father, to build relationship with him, because it's then and only then that we can produce fruit. You know, if you look at a vineyard, what you'll see is that the vines aren't just growing loose in a field. They're not just there and they're growing and they're doing their thing. You'll see that they're connected to a trellis or to some kind of structure that is helping them to grow. Sometimes you see these long strings that are connected from post to post, and these vines, these branches are winding around them, and they're producing so much fruit. They're connected to a trellis or some kind of structure, because in order for a vine to grow effectively, in order for it to carry the weight of the much fruit that it's going to produce when it's connected into the vine, it needs structure. It needs support. And so for me, I take that as an encouragement that actually we need to put routine in our lives, the routine of a quiet time, the routine of personal time with Jesus, the routine of church being a non-negotiable in our lives for Sundays, routine of life groups. It looks like devotionals. It looks like prayer buddies. It looks like surrounding yourselves with other followers of Jesus. There's structure to it. There's intentionality to it. There's purpose and plan to it, because then we have the knowledge that actually when we put those things in place, we can be more effective. We can produce much fruit. We can bear the weight of all of the fruit that God wants to produce through us. So I encourage you to maybe just look at your life and just take stock of it for a moment and say, actually, you know, where do I need to put some structures in place? What am I not doing that actually I think God probably wants me to do? And so I'm going to put this trellis up of a daily quiet time. I'm going to put this trellis up of finding another person that I can pray with. What can you do in your life to build those structures that allow you to produce more fruit? And so as I wrap up this morning, let's just look at that final verse we read, verse 11. And just take a look at what's at stake here, why all of this matters. It says, "These things I have spoken to you." So this is the why that Jesus is teaching this message, why he's making this I am statement. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." You know, it's important to note that actually joy and happiness are not the same thing. One of those is worthy of pursuit and the other one is not, because happiness is frail. Happiness is fragile and it can be affected by our external circumstances and situations. You know this, you've felt this, you've woken up some mornings and the sun is shining and the birds are tweeting and for whatever reason you just feel happy, you've got the music on, there's a big smile on your face and you're just feeling happy, aren't you? Or, I don't know, maybe when your football team has won a match. I'm not a sports fan, you know that, I don't care about football, but for some people in the room, when your football team has won, you feel elated, you just feel over the moon and you are just full of happiness. And then you're driving home from the game and someone cuts you up on the motorway and like that, the happiness is gone and you're furious and you're angry and you're effing and jeffing out the window. Happiness goes like that. It's one of the reasons why I hate football, because moods can change like that. If your team doesn't win, you feel miserable. Oh, I felt the brunt of that sometimes, that, you know, from friends who were just so in... Oh, anyway, I'm not going to get onto that. But happiness is impacted by external circumstances. You know, you can be feeling just so happy, and then you're scrolling through your phone and you read that one Facebook comment, or you're walking down the street and you bump into that one person and the happiness is gone. You suddenly start to feel miserable and down and low and depressed. Happiness is built on external circumstances, but joy is different. And that's what this verse is speaking about. It's not speaking about happiness, it's speaking about joy. And joy is built not on external circumstances, but on ultimate spiritual truths. Truths like, I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. Truths like, my identity is found in Jesus. Truths like, I can find my life. I can find life in him. I can find meaning and purpose in him. And you know, we can rest in that. We can rest in that place, in that knowledge, in those truths, that actually we can have joy, true joy, when we're resting in him. And so why is it important that we hear this message today, that Jesus is the true vine, that we are the branches? Why is it important that we understand that we're going to experience the pruning of the Father, but also that we need to abide in the Son? This all matters because our Heavenly Father, Creator God, he cares about your joy. He cares about your joy. He cares about your deep-rooted, deep-seated self-confidence, that knowledge that he's got you, that he's for you, that he loves you, and that he will make a way. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for just this incredible word that once again you just bring this I am statement that declares not only that you are God, but just how good you are. And so we thank you for the challenge that comes from recognizing that we are branches, that we are part of you, that we are connected to you, and that actually it gives us that reason to wonder, it gives us that reason to worship, but that also it gives us a clarity of purpose. And God, I pray for each and every person here today or those listening online that actually that you would show us our specific purpose. You know, I believe that we are here to glorify your name, to build your kingdom here on earth, but I know that you have given each and every one of us a specific purpose, a specific reason for being where we are. And so I pray that this week even you would reveal to us more of that purpose. And God, we're also very aware that being connected to the vine, being branches connected to the vine, comes with this pruning process. And may we not put up a wall when we feel your pruning, when we feel your discipline on our lives, but may we just acknowledge that actually, yeah, you're right and I'm wrong, that you are God and I am not, and I'm making mistakes and I'm doing things that I'm not supposed to do. And so God, I accept that pruning, I accept that discipline, and I recognize that you're doing it out of love. And so let us just walk back in your footsteps. Let us come back in line with your purpose, and let us remain in you so that we can find that perfect joy that you speak of. In Jesus' name, amen.